We focus so much on being perfect that we convince ourselves that we aren't. And we're so busy doubting ourselves and comparing ourselves that we really don't realize that.
When you're comparing, you're taking yourself and you're making yourself weaker because you're comparing what you have to somebody else. You're weakening your ability to do the thing that you're trying to do because your focus is somewhere else. Knowing that, but understanding, like, showing up as you regardless is the key thing.
But that goes into having true confidence, which is actually trusting yourself. Going into the world like, this is me, this is how I'm coming today. Like, you have to actually be confident in order to show up like that.
Get on my motherfucking face. Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
What are three things that you learned as a child that you had to unlearn or are currently unlearning?
Okay. I got one thing so far, and then I'll think about the rest. My first thing is to just save, like, save your money. I feel like that was, like, drilled into me as a child. And now I'm actually learning that there's more than just saving. Like, there's investment opportunities and other things like that. Saving is not the only way. And also, if you have a savings, like, if you're saving your money, you want to make sure, like, it's in a high yield savings account, or like there's more to it than just save your money, just save your money. Because then you start missing out on life. You start feeling like you can't buy nothing because you got to just save your money. And then also, saving your money does not make you rich. It doesn't make you rich. And I feel like that was like the narrative, like, if you save your money, you'll always have money. And that's not true. It's good to save money, but you also got to diversify your income. You gotta invest. I was taught how to save money. I wasn't taught how to grow money. I was taught how to make money by means of like a 9-to-5. But outside of that, I mean, mom and dad did used to flip houses for a little bit. So I knew there was something else out there. But also, all they was telling me was save your money, save your money, save your money. So that's something that I had to unlearn. But I, like we had mentioned a few episodes ago, it has to be replaced with something. So I'm figuring out, well, all right, if I'm not saving my money, how am I investing it? Or if I'm not saving it in a regular savings account, then I need to make sure it's being set aside, but also growing, if that makes sense. But what about you? What's one thing that you are unlearning or had to unlearn that you learned as a child?
That you have to work hard for money.
Ooh.
I just don't agree anymore. I've seen people do it, and that's everything that I've seen my family do and just people around me. But I don't subscribe to that belief anymore. I don't think you have to work hard for money. I've been working hard on other things that in turn will make me money, but I don't have to work hard for money.
Hmm.
And that's one of the main things that I've had to unlearn and in the process of unlearning.
That's good. I agree. I agree. Right.
Yeah.
Indubitably.
Yeah, I just think it's set up so that we continuously work hard for money, and you're thinking that the more hours you put in would mean that the more money you're going to make. But if you look at the richest people in the world, they don't work that much.
They don't.
So, like, at some point, it's a... What's the term that they talk about? Where you're not getting any more...
No return?
No. Oh, my goodness. It's not... I can't remember what the term is. But pretty much when it's only a certain amount of work you can do. There's a certain threshold that you can do before it's not going to... Diminish your returns.
Oh, diminish.
Yeah.
About to say plateau?
Yeah. I couldn't remember that for the life of me, but...
Your limit?
Yeah.
Limiter.
But I think after a while it's diminishing returns, because, like, you can work 80 hours a week. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You would think that people, if that was the case, then the people who work 80 hours a week, they should be the richest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nah. The people that be working the 5 hours, all right, cool, I got a good 5 hours in me, and I go golf.
Rich people sleep more than they work.
It don't even be a 5 hours. It'd be like, I got 30 minutes. I got 30 minutes on the way to the golf course. Let's do this meeting now.
And it'd be intentional 30 minutes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Be very productive.
Impactful.
30 minutes.
Like, things be getting done. But they...
The merger went through.
It went through. Mm-hmm.
It always does.
So I'm headed to the golf course. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, you're not about to mess up my tee time. Mm-hmm. All right, what about you? What's one thing?
All right, y'all got y'all seatbelts on? This might shake the room.
Okay, okay.
But,
gather yourself, Ken.
It's being nice.
Being nice.
Oh, yeah, that was... Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean,
that was a big one. My mom still be saying, "Oh, you nice." I'm like, "Nah, don't cuss at me like that, woman."
I think. Go ahead. I was gonna say I didn't realize how. Well, number one, nobody actually ever talks about the actual definition of nice versus like being kind and stuff like that. So even when we're kids, and they be like, "Oh, go over there, be nice," da da da. It's like I didn't realize how much. It was ingrained in me to be nice, but also like being nice is like, it's being naive. It's akin to that. And it's kind of frustrating. Like once you find out what it means and then also how it plays a role in your life, it's just like, dang, that's why I was feeling like y'all was just out here doing whatever. Cause y'all wasn't being nice. Y'all was being kind. And I'm over here being the nicest. I changed my name and it was a group meeting. It was me, Damani, and our friend Sierra. Well, everybody. Sierra's been on the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. If you haven't met Sierra, check out this episode that's linked somewhere up here. Okay. I changed my name in there to the nice one because they will always, I don't even know how I got here, but I'll be like, yeah, I'm the nice one. You know, I'm the nice one. Mind you, I wasn't the nicest one out of all of us. Well, now I know I was the nicest one out of all of us.
Plot twist.
But I changed it for like different reasons. So it was just funny now knowing like, oh, that's actually not a good thing for me. I mean, if you like being nice, stop it. I'm not even going to say kudos to you. Just stop it. All right. But yeah. So I think that's funny that you said that because I didn't even... I don't know. It's too much.
Yeah, being nice over the years. I wish I knew earlier what I was doing because I would slap myself so quick. Like, stop that. Cut that out. let that go, man. Say what you mean what you say.
Right. Beating around the bush. Yeah. Just say it.
Yeah, but and it's funny because it's such a small thing. In general, even when people say, like, oh, be nice, like, it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, but it ends up being that big a deal because it kind of shapes all of your life. So it's just, it's a wild thing. That's a big one. I completely forgot about that. I should have took that first, but yeah. It's cool.
Dang, I had another one and I forgot it.
I have one.
All right, go ahead.
Being perfect or feeling the need to be perfect.
Oh, I remember mine. Go ahead. Finish yours.
She said, ha-ha, Eureka. I remember.
I feel like that's it. Just being perfect. I'm just here to get better. Like, be better than I was yesterday. And every day isn't going to look like the last day. So yesterday could have been an amazing day, but since today is a new day, it's no need for me to attempt to remake yesterday. Because today is a completely new day. And all I can do is... Well, my goal today is to make the most out of today.
I think the other thing with being perfect is from a religious aspect, like in Christianity, I think we focus so much on the idea of not being perfect and striving to be perfect like God and da-da-da-da that like we lose sight of being human, like just allowing ourselves to be human. Like I personally feel like we're perfect. We were created perfectly because God doesn't make mistakes, right?
So when you start second guessing, you're and changing stuff.
It's yeah. Like you're insulting God.
But now you're not perfect anymore.
Well, you're still perfect. That doesn't change the fact that you're not, like God still made you.
Yeah, he made you perfect. But if you're manipulating the creation, this isn't the perfect creation that was intended.
But it might be. Like, I don't think... Oh, what was you about to
you
say?
Good, you can finish your sentence.
I don't think that... So, like, I think that, like, God doesn't make mistakes in, like, our entire journey, including, like, whether it be, like, the detours that we take or the moments of doubt. I think that it all comes together to create like something that's beautiful and something that's still loved by God. And I think that we focus so much on the fact that, oh, I'm not this absolutely perfect person as described by the church, not even always described by the Bible, not even like, and it's just like, and also that might even be contradictory to what God told you to be, I guess, confident in, or God told you was, I don't know, part of what makes you so great. So it's just like, you just lose sight of the fact that, like, God don't make no mistakes. Like, let me just rock out. And then you, I don't think it makes you imperfect. I think it delays you seeing who you are. I don't know if that fully made sense, but.
The fact that you said delays fully who you are, that's what you just said?
Delays that, who like you seeing
seeing
it.
Who you are. That made me think of delayed gratification. Mm. Right?
Ooh, child.
I'm finding the words because I want to make sure I say it correctly, my actual thought. Okay, delayed gratification, that made me think of comparison. I like comparison better than comparison, but it made me think of comparison. So the worst thing that you could do is actually compare, because it takes the fun out of anything that you're doing. A lot of times you waiting for outside validation or whatever because you see other people with things that you want, or doing things that you would want to do, or a lifestyle that you want, just wanting more. And this thing that you're doing, this is going to get you to wherever it is that you want to go. So if you stop focusing on everything else and stop focusing on whether or when people going to be like, ah, he the one, or she the one, or yeah, ah, that's my favorite. Like, just focus on this thing. It's going to be a lot more fun, a lot more fulfilling. Mm-hmm. That was just a side note, a little tangent that was on my spirit to share with people.
Yeah, and,
Go ahead. I was going to say, I definitely agree. One of the things that I learned from watching Jujutsu Kaisen, it was a little section, but pretty much what I've learned is when you're comparing, you're weakening your resolve. Like, and that's how I processed it. Like, you're taking yourself and you're making yourself weaker because you're comparing what you have to somebody else. And it's like, you're weakening your ability to do the thing that you're trying to do because your focus is somewhere else. So I definitely agree. And comparison is probably one of the other things that I had to unlearn. But before I get there, I wanted to finish the point y'all was talking about with God not making mistakes, which ends up being my third point, which is kind of funny. Anyway, so I was going to say, I think, like, God made us perfectly, and I think God made us so perfect that, like, a part of the design was that you can do whatever you want. And if you want to decide to not do things that work in your favor, you can do that. That's also perfectly a part of the design. If you want to do stuff in a way that helps your greatest good, you can do that too. So I think it's like all of it is still perfect by design. It's just this stuff that you do that might not be perfect for you, if anything.
And I think it's also a thing that we focus so much on being perfect that we convince ourselves that we aren't. And we're so busy doubting ourselves and comparing ourselves, the comparison and all that stuff, that like we really don't realize that, okay, this moment is probably perfect for me, or like, and everything isn't always like an ideal moment, or, you know, this year has been rough. So I wouldn't want to be like, yeah, this year was perfect. But it's just a thing where by design, I know this is going to work in my favor. But also, I have the option to believe that or to not believe it. And I think that when you take away the idea of I have to be perfect, because that is literally saying, like, I'm not already perfect. If you're like constantly, I have to be perfect. It just, it gets in the way of so many things. I think it's kind of like the niceness, in a way, because I mean, I feel like it also is a part of being a people pleaser and being too nice, because you want to be the perfect nice person, the nicest person that anybody's ever met, and I don't ruffle any feathers, and I'm so agreeable, and people like me, and da 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 da. When it's like, you just be you, like, you're just here to be you and just be the best version of yourself, which doesn't mean that you have to strive for constant perfection and everything, or think about it in the terms of like constant perfection. But it's just like, by design, you are you, and you are perfect because God made you.
To that point, and I think I said this on the pod before, but it's like God came down as Jesus to show us exactly what to do, and they still got rid of him.
They did.
Like, they still unalived him. So it's like, the person who's supposed to be walking perfection, people still didn't like him. So why on earth are you going out your way to be like, when like the person who gave us the perfect model, they did everything right, people was like, nah, we don't like him. It's like, I did everything right. Like, literally everything right. So it's just wild to me. And it's funny because when you start doing things in order to be, which is still on the same topic, when you start doing things like so that people like you, so that like things look a certain way, usually it's what ends up happening is that people, you're working so that people don't dislike you, which is like, okay, somebody's always going to dislike you. And so like, just live your life, be free, be you. Like, it's just the whole trying to be perfect. And it's like perfect by whose standards? Like, everybody's standards everybody has totally different standards of what's perfect. You might be like, this is the best pound cake I've ever had. Somebody else might be like, I like my pound cake a little bit more fluffy. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be like, well, I mean, okay, I don't. So what now? You know, like, it's interesting to me. But you can go ahead, my bad.
Now I got two things. The part about God coming back is Jesus to show us how to do stuff. Mm-hmm. I think God came here as Jesus to show us what we are capable of.
That too.
We just don't be tapped in enough. And my other thing was, now that's back. This back to perfectionism. I don't even be trying to say the right things anymore. I don't always speak my mind or say the things that I think, and that's probably for the best. But in the past, I used to do my best to say the right things or replay stuff in my mind or play out scenarios before scenarios even happen, so I'll be prepared. But now it's just like, hey, whatever I say in the moment, that's what I said. It's okay for me to recant my statement. I don't have to be perfect. Yeah, I don't have to be perfect. That's the bottom line. Like, I said it. I meant it when I said it. But now I mean when I say, I shouldn't have said that, or I don't think that was the best thing for me to say at the time, or I actually don't believe that. I found some new information that shifted my mind. Just stuff like that.
All I heard in my head was, whatever I say, y'all gotta do. Whatever I say, y'all gotta do. Whatever I say, y'all gotta do. Y'all do, y'all do, y'all do. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to get that out of my system.
I see.
My next thing that I learned as a child, or this is something that I'm learning now that I feel like I needed as a child, is just like how valuable time is. I don't think this was like explicitly told to me, but I think this is what I've observed, was just like that money is the valuable thing. Like, you know, time is money. Da-da-da. Well, I mean, I heard that. I'm sure everybody heard that. Time is money, blah, blah, blah. But like, when you really think about how valuable time is versus money, like, I really want to prioritize my time going forward. I want to make sure that I'm making time for the things that I enjoy, because what I was taught was, it goes back to kind of like the working hard for money situation. It's literally just a thing where if it's not making you money, then it don't make sense, right? But it's like, what am I spending my time on? Because at the end of the day, even if this is paying me however much, it still might not make sense for my life. Like, for the direction that I want to go in. And I think we also take for granted the time that we have here on Earth. And it's like, if we know that I have a finite amount of time here, and I spend most of my life at a job or in spaces that I hate, then what am I doing with my life? And I just feel like that's something that I'm learning now, and I'm learning what it looks like for my days and for my decision making, because now I'm making my decisions differently. Because now I can be like, okay, well, what does this mean for my time? Or do I still have time to do XYZ? Or will I still have time to, even if it's just to do my morning routine or to get some actual sleep, or just do I have time to sit outside for 10 minutes? Because, you know, that's important to me now. So I think that's one thing that I guess I am learning and unlearning.
To that point, it made me think about actually listening to your body each day or listening to yourself each day. So when you mentioned actually doing your morning routine or your rising routine, rising ritual, it made me think of like earlier when I was saying every day is a new day. So it's no need for me to attempt to recreate yesterday and today. So today, I need some more rest.
Mm-hmm.
So all I did was, I ain't do yoga or workout, but I didn't want to go to sleep before we potted.
I feel you. So, I woke up late.
So I just walked the dog. I did a meditation, and now I got energy. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in a space of forcing how I want to be or what I feel like I should be in this moment. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, let me assess the situation, assess me, and see how am I showing up. How can I best utilize me in this current state to show up
as your
best
self.
I can?
Yeah.
I like that. This is a constant reminder of being present and just actually doing the thing that you're doing while you're doing it. We talk about this all the time, but whatever the case may be is just you being here, because there's no other place for you to be mm-hmm. than here. There's no other time than now, so just be here now. Keep it moving. And something else my second thing would be that I've had to learn, unlearn, whatever one, that there are no mistakes. It's just things that you didn't intend to do, which mm-hmm. was a game changer for me, because like that just means like there's no wrong moves. You just make the moves right that you made. And like in some ways it's proactive, in some ways it's reactive, right? Because sometimes I just make a move and then I assess whether or not the move was right. And sometimes it's like I'm reacting to a move that I made, but all in all, it's like nothing is wrong. Everything is just something that either I intended or I didn't intend. And then how I respond to what I intended or didn't intend is up to me again. So like even if it was something that was like a mistake, you won't know it until hindsight. So like in the moment, there's never any mistakes. It's just like, okay, that was a move. Was that the most ideal move? I don't know. I don't know if there could have been a better move. I don't know if there could have been a worse move. And it's like, for me, it bleeds into everything that I do. So whether it's conversations, like you were talking about, saying the right thing, making sure you're replaying and stuff, like there's no mistakes. It's just you said what you said and things are going to respond to what you said. Like one of the things that I've been doing my best to do as of late, when I got one of my downloads from the Lord, was simply being myself and resonating like how I resonate and seeing how the world responds. I just want to see, just go out and just like, all right, how is the world going to respond to me just being me, and just see what happens, and just let like my energy, my vibe, it's infectious, but let my energy and my vibe like just bounce off of things, people, situations, and just see what happens. And I think that's been one of the things that I've been learning to do this entire time, and me realizing that there's no mistakes has helped me mm-hmm. with that.
I feel like that goes into having true confidence, which is actually trusting yourself. It's hard to, what was the like overall statement that you made?
There's
like
no
actual
mistakes.
Point? Yeah, there's no mistake. Mm. So going into the world like, this is me, this is how I'm coming today. Like, you have to actually be confident in yourself and who you are in order to show up like that. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's just a testament to actually trusting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us don't trust ourselves enough. And I mean, that's a part of where comparison comes from. That's part of where indecision comes from. It's a lack of you trusting that, hey, this move was the move that I made, and I don't know if it's right now, but I can make it right, that kind of thing. But most of us, we're so hesitant about making the move, and we're like, let me double check to make sure my people made the left turn, because I don't want to make a left turn and then everybody else went right. And it's like, nah, you made a left turn because that's what you felt in the moment, and that was what you, based on the information you had, based on the feeling you had, you felt that was right. You can be proven wrong later, and you can be like, you know what, that was my bad. But I also, this is all the information that I had. I operated under the only way that I knew how in the moment. And you just kind of like have to be okay with that and be okay with whatever happens after the fact. I think a lot of us aren't okay with what happens after you make the decision, because like we're playing it in our mind like, dang, if I make the wrong decision, then this is going to happen. But you don't know because you haven't made the decision yet. So it's all in your head. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I think that goes back to like the perfectionism, because we focus a lot of times like on making the perfect decision and not just making the decision that, yeah, a decision or this decision that feels right to us. Because that's why we're looking for the extra validation, or we're looking around to see like, okay, well, what did they do? Because we're like, well, a lot of times you already know what to do. You already know what you're supposed to do. And what we do is, and I mean, I just did this, but what we do is we have this gut feeling about, okay, let me do this. And then we get some information from somewhere, or we see somebody else do this other thing in this other way. Even if going back to like, you don't have to work hard for money, and it's like, okay, well, they did it that way and they didn't have to work hard to do this thing. So let me go ahead and follow what they did instead of trusting what I know my gut was telling me to do. Then you make that decision. Then you got to backtrack and be like, okay, now I gotta remake this decision, or I gotta start over, or whatever, whatever. But we're so focused on making the perfect decision. And that actually leads me into my third thing. So one thing that I learned as a child is, you know, use your head, not your heart type of thing. And one thing that I'm learning to do is make more decisions based on my feelings. So even as I wake up each morning and deciding what part of my morning process I'm doing, I'm like, okay, how do I feel? Do I feel like I'm okay to work out? Do I feel like I have the space or the energy to go walk the dog? I'm not doing that yet, but but like just different things like that. Like this morning, I didn't read. Usually I read some like devotionals, but I didn't read the book that I'm reading, because I was like, I don't have, number one, the mental space to read this. But also I just don't feel like it. So instead I meditated, I wrote, and I hopped in the shower and just got my day started or whatever. So, but what I'm learning to do, and this is like a fairly new thing, but I'm learning to actually sit in my feelings and feel what I'm feeling, because that's the way to actually stay in tune with your body and to also be able to trust your gut, trust yourself, is if you're in tune with yourself. Like you gotta spend time with yourself, honestly. It's like any other relationship. You spend time with people, you start to build trust with them. You gotta spend time with yourself, and then you start to build trust with yourself. So what I'm learning to do is not to overthink everything and to be like, okay, if I feel like doing this thing, let me go ahead and just do this thing and not ignore it or not put it off and not focus on, okay, well, I could do this, but it doesn't seem like it's going to get me to whatever. So it's not the perfect thing. And sometimes it don't seem like it's going to get you to whatever moment you're looking to get to, but it actually might get you there. But also I understand it's not always feasible to just be like, all right, I'm just going to go with whatever vibe I'm feeling right now. It's not always feasible in every situation, but when determining the harmony within your mind, body, and soul, I feel like it's important to be in tune with your feelings, because your feelings influence your thoughts, and then so on and so forth. So, yeah, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I was just going to say, to piggyback off of going based off your feelings isn't necessarily like, I don't feel like doing this today, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to that point, I was going to say that's why I believe that it's important to actually have like some type of goals or direction, mm-hmm, of where you're going, so you can keep the main thing, like focus on what's important and work towards that. So I'm doing this stuff getting done regardless, but how I feel today, you know what, I think a shower is best.
Mm-hmm.
Like a shower is the best way for me to start my day today, so I'm gonna hop in the shower. This stuff getting done regardless, because this is the main thing, this is my focus. So it ain't no, I don't really feel like doing this today. This shower is going to rejuvenate me so I can get whatever I need to get done. But that actually might lead me to my third point, because it's kind of like being disciplined enough to be you fully, right? Stay with me. A goal of mine is to have the title of His Holiness. Like your holiness, like the Dalai Lama. Right?
Okay. That was left field.
Right? I never heard His Holiness go before. Hold on.
It's a gold one. It's a new one.
Okay.
I was reading and I'm like, how he get that title? I want that title. So it like this literally happened a couple of days ago. I was just reading it and it said His Holiness. And I'm like, whoa, that's good. I'm not good old Saint Breeze. You had His Holiness. That's it. Just His Holiness. and becoming His Holiness. I am currently unlearning the art of dimming my light.
Mm.
So I'm in a space of allowing my light to shine wherever, however, this is how I'm showing up.
That's funny.
In a world full of darkness or whatever it's looking like, I will be the light. At least in my opinion. I'm not here to be perfect. I'm just here to shine, baby.
That's funny because I remember, so two things. I remember a while ago, like some pods ago, I had said, I don't know how we got on topic, but I had said the new download that I got was that I'm the light. When we were, I think we were like introducing ourselves. I don't really know. But I had said that and I was like, I don't fully know what that means yet, but that's what I've been told is that I'm the light at the end of the tunnel. So it's funny that you said that because I also, this morning in my morning pages, I wrote down, I said, this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I, so it's just funny that you mentioned that. But yeah, I probably won't call you His Holiness.
Oh, I was never going to call you that, but probably respectfully. Won't.
It'd be your own people. Yeah.
I mean, listen. You know,
the Grace had to leave their environment.
Listen, they did. Adios. But yeah, respectfully, no. You're not getting the His Holiness out of me. But
I
that's
don't know
just
if
me.
I can say that with a straight face. Like,
yeah,
nah, I'm not.
His Holiness.
I know. Old man Breeze. Like, I call you that.
Yep.
It's cool. When everybody ain't called me Breeze at first either. Now people that I know, Breeze. So once they be like, His Holiness, it just flows.
I mean, they could call holiness. You that.
Yeah. I'm letting you know I'm not ever calling you
that. Yeah, I'm not.
Gonna be same old Breeze to me. See, it's a breeze, it's a breeze, it's a breeze. It's never gonna be no holy breeze for me. I mean, Holy Breeze, you know.
Holy Breeze. That's Holy Breeze.
Yeah, Holy Breeze.
His Holiness.
He gonna be correcting us. Yeah. I'll be like, y'all, shout out to Holy Breeze.
His Holiness.
His Holiness. Yeah. And I might do it just on principle, just to be Holy Breeze.
Holy Breeze.
His Holiness.
Like, yeah, nah, just on the principle. But,
oh, man, that's like Yasin Bey, changing your name.
His Holiness.
You can have it.
Look how I sit. I'm just so light and...
There's a holy way to sit.
What?
Look at me.
You're sitting heavy. This is big couch sitting. That's what it is. Oh, man. What was your point? You're going to shine your light? Oh, the confidence, that the discipline to be yourself, to have the confidence to be yourself in every room and every moment. I feel that on a spiritual level. I think that a lot of us are now coming into a space of just being ourselves unapologetically. I think for a long time we were waiting for permission. Like, we were told that, like, we have to look and be a particular way in these settings. And we were waiting, just literally waiting for permission for somebody to be like, it's okay to be you. And now we just like, man, F it. I'm gonna just go ahead and be myself.
Yeah, because if I'm waiting, I was waiting all this time for permission and not realizing I had the permission slip.
Right.
I'm like, yo, what? You was waiting for me. Like, I'm waiting for you. You waiting for me? I was waiting for you. That's how I felt.
I thought my mom had signed this.
Talking to God, like, all right, can you just, give me the, you mind giving me the slip? It's right there. Do what you please. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
I was just going to say, I feel like it was like that because now we're in an age where we have access to whatever it is that we want. So before it was like a lot of gatekeepers and you have to go through me in order to get here. Mm-hmm. And you have to be a certain way for me to even allow you to get here. You have to be how I want you to be because I have access to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So now the floodgates is open. You could do whatever, see whatever, be however on your own. Like, you literally don't need anybody. Technically, you need people, like, mm-hmm. but you can do everything by yourself.
I feel like the trick is that you are always able to do it without anybody. Like,
it's easier now, though.
Like, yeah, I mean, like,
to get the things, it's a lot easier. So, if we're talking about music, in order to record and put out a whole project, it's way easier than it was. Like, you don't even have to go to a studio, have an engineer. You can make your own beats because they have, like, different softwares and platforms and everything. So, you can do the stuff yourself.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a lot easier for you to be autonomous in general. Yeah, I threw that out there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'll be reading. But, yeah, I think it's a lot more easier. It's a lot easier for you to do that now. But I think and I'm just going based off of the initial statement we were talking about. I think you were saying it's, like, about being yourself. Like, it's a lot easier for you to be yourself now because you can do whatever you want. I think the trick was that people made us feel like we weren't able. People then could feel like they couldn't be themselves. But, like, I think maybe you just had more opposition to you being yourself then. So, like, there was more, I don't even know if I want to say consequences, but it felt like there may have been more consequences. So, like, if you were your true self and you wanted to get this job and this other person had the keys to you getting the job, you may feel like you need to conform, yeah, acquiesce, whatever the term is. But, like,
acquiesce,
yeah. Listen, I've been doing my reading, you know. But yeah, you may have felt like you needed to conform. But I also feel like that's the same thing for today. I think we have a lot more, like, internal
battles.
It's not even a matter of external gatekeeper. It's more of an internal gatekeeper.
You know them external gatekeepers.
Yeah, see, listen, sometimes you make up words on the fly when you know.
You know, we got the comparison with the out. The outernal.
Yeah, you can be comparisizing with the outernal
instead of.
But I agree. I feel like it's different than how it was, but I think that's also because so now we be looking at, like, diversity and inclusion and stuff like that. Diversity and inclusion initiatives and within, like, different settings. So even if we're talking about, like, getting a job or whatever, a lot of times it's like that's where a code switching. Well, that's not where it started, but, like, the code switching was a huge part of that because it was like a survival tactic, like we talked about before. It's like I have to show up as this other person in this setting so that I can make sure either I can advance in this space, I can remain in this space, or I can even get into this space because I don't know if I'm, like, it's even when you think about, like, people passing for white, that whole thing is you not showing up as yourself.
The wild thing, when you said people passing, I thought you were talking about passing away.
Yeah.
You said passing for white.
Yeah. I thought that same thing until you said for white. I was like, oh, that's what she meant. Okay.
I'm sorry. Right. I went to race. You know, it's a lot of things happening in the country right now. But so, like, people passing for white, like, you're literally erasing your connection to who you are, who your ancestors are, so that you can show up as somebody that is more acceptable to society. And then people be shocked now finding out that their great-grandmother or their grandmother was actually black, but they didn't find this out until she passed away or whatever. And it's like, that's like an extreme example of not having the permission to show up as yourself. Because in some spaces it was dangerous. But also now, like you said, like we have more of the freedom to just show up as ourselves. And this is really speaking from a black perspective, because I don't know what the white people was doing. I feel like maybe they've been showing up as themselves for the most part. But, like, we have more freedom to show up as ourselves. We have more access to things, even in terms of, like, doing what we want to do. We do have a lot more access and we have a lot more knowledge as far as, like, being able to learn the skill. I'm not going to keep showing up as who y'all want me to show up as. I'm going to show up as me, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I also think there's good reason for why people do it, and I think when it comes to, like, getting what you want or doing certain things, like, you do have to acknowledge that every every approach, like you can't approach every scenario the exact same way. You can't approach everything with a jackhammer, right? So like sometimes some things may need you, require you to take a slightly different approach, not to change who you are, but like to change how you would approach this thing. Sometimes you need to be more like not avoidant, but evasive, right? So it's like some things won't yield to the direct approach. Some things you may need to take a sidestep and approach in another way, but you're always approaching. You're approaching as you. So it's like not changing who you are, but understanding like this requires a sewing needle. Like this does not require me to come through blazing, kicking in the door with the, like it just doesn't require that. So I think I just knowing that, but understanding like showing up as you regardless is the key thing.
And I think that goes along with being just like a well-rounded person. Like honestly, and you don't actually even become that person until you start to get to know yourself. Get to know who you really are, because then you can see like, okay, well, I have this more boisterous side of my personality, and then I have like a calmer side, and then like I do know how to show up in corporate spaces or white spaces and still be myself, but also still maintain a level of professionalism if it's needed. Like you know how to show up in different rooms, but like you were saying, you still are yourself. It's not you I guess erasing who you are to be present in this space. It's literally like, all right, this is the version of me, or this is a version of who I am in this room. And that's important.
I agree.
I don't remember how we got here.
Me, His Holiness.
Who is that? but another thing, I don't know if I said three, but if I did, here's an extra credit one that I learned that I have to unlearn, was that I don't have to be guarded 24/7. And when I was thinking about that, I was at work and I was realizing how often like I'm either like I'm holding my stomach, I'm holding like I'm just like tense, like just a level of tenseness. And it's like, how can I respond to everything around me if I'm tense? I'm not able to do it. It's almost like you're bracing yourself to be hit by something all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're never comfortable, you're never relaxing, you're never able to respond to anything because you're always bracing yourself. And so when I was at work one of the days, I was sitting there, I just kind of like took a breath and I just sat there, and it was like, everything just was flowing so much better. Conversation was flowing so much better. Like, my thoughts were flowing so much better. And it was like, I was protecting myself from stuff that I didn't even know I was trying to protect myself. And it was like, there's no threat here. Like, you are not in danger, bro. You are having this conversation with this delivery man.
So I've been reading. Y'all know I be reading. I've been reading the Garden Within by Dr. Anita Phillips. And she talks about the sympathetic nervous system. And basically, like, that's like your fight or flight system that automatically kicks on. But a lot of times, if we don't take the time to like regulate our emotions and stuff, like that system, it automatically turns on and it does not turn off until the parasympathetic nervous system turns on. That's what regulates your emotions. So it's like, if you've been in this state of like your mind thinking that there's some sort of threat, and maybe you didn't realize it because it became like your new normal level of stress or whatever, like you literally just been in fight or flight mode for 8 hours, like the entire time you at work, or maybe it could have been for weeks and you just didn't realize it, so you didn't take a moment for yourself or whatever. And I feel like that's so fascinating, but also it's so wild because we be over here stressed out about everything, and it's literally because we got stressed out or got triggered by something one time that maybe triggered like the thought of like a past experience, or it might have been something that was extremely small. That it's like, okay, this isn't any big deal, but your mind processed it as this is a threat because it reminds me, or it made you feel how you felt 15 years ago, and now you just in fight or flight mode and don't even know it. Don't know why you anxious, don't know how to calm yourself down, and then it becomes your new level of you just being stressed at this level and don't know what to do.
If you look at it from a metaphysical level.
Uh-huh.
It all goes back to awareness.
Well,
being aware and accepting of this moment that we're in. I can only speak for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was at work in the past, it was a thing of, I don't want to be here, so I'm not going to enjoy myself. Let me tense up. Like, I'm just tense. Mm-hmm. Talking to people, conversation, not conversating. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I got a guard up. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about that at first, immediately I started thinking about being on your P's and Q's. But you could still be relaxed and be on your P's and Q's. It's mm-hmm. just a thing of how you were saying you was tense. I don't be breathing.
Tense.
And then it just be like something click, like, oh, I ain't breathe. Mm-hmm. And then just be like, just go back to accepting. I'll be having to get to a point where it's like, okay, this is the situation at hand. This is where I am at the moment. I have an option to do my best to enjoy it. Just be me, relax, and just be in this moment. Mm-hmm. If I don't like it, as much as I'm making myself feel like I don't like it, I can leave. Mm-hmm. If I leave, then I have to deal with other situations that, whether good or bad, that come as a result of the action that I took.
Yeah.
So it's just a thing in my mind on a metaphysical level. Mm-hmm. Just accepting the moment, being as present as possible, enjoying the moment as best as I can, remembering to breathe, remembering to just, I'm okay. Like, just remembering, literally remembering that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's funny because, you know, on a spiritual, metaphysical level, I think one of the things that happens when you're not being present is it's almost like your body is here, but your mind is, I don't want to be here, so I'm going to do everything in my power. Your mind is like, I'm going to do everything in my power to get me away from here. And so the time, your body is like, I'm going through it. Your mind is like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And it's like, it's a disconnect. And that's what I've noticed for me. So one of the days when I was at work, I was like, it's been so long since I've done it, where I was at work and I was like, I'm just going to be at work today. I just want to see what happens. I'm not going to try and read. I'm not going to try and game plan for my entire life. Like, I'm just going to be at work. And then I just sat there for a little bit. People was coming in. And what was really strange to me was, it was the same amount of people that normally come in at the same pace, but it felt like everything was kind of slowed down. Like, people would come in and I wasn't shocked that somebody came in, didn't catch me off guard because I was reading, or it didn't catch me off guard because my mom was somewhere else. Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh, okay, I see somebody come. Cool, boom. All right, cool. And it's like, as I'm going, I wasn't forgetting certain things. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I forgot to call this person back. It was like my memory was a lot better. Like, I was in the moment and I was fully active, a full participant in the moment. I wasn't anywhere else. So being able to stay aware, like you were saying, and like be in tune with your body and allow it, like your mind and your body, to be in the same place at the same time is such a huge thing. And that's part of the thing that I've been learning for myself. And that's where some of the tension came from, because my mind is like, nah, I want to be back on the couch. And then my body like, well, you at this desk. There's somebody in your face right now.
Kick your feet up. Know. It's like, nah.
So it's just that disconnect.
Kick them.
Yeah, it's just that disconnect. And it's like that friction, I think, that was causing a lot of the tension for me.
Well, I feel like on a physical, spiritual, metaphysical level. It's like, nah.
Anabolic level.
Biological.
Philosophical. Sorry, nah. My bad.
Never mind.
Physiological?
Yeah. We make up words here. All made up anyway. Somebody made this up.
They are. I actually found somebody on TikTok who is, I forgot what she called herself, but she actually makes up words. Like, that's her, that's what she went to school for.
I wanted to say etymology.
Etymologist. Yeah. She, like, makes up words because she knows what all of the parts of the words and the origins of the different parts mean. So she can make up words. Anyways, that actually brought me to my bonus thing, because I think I gave three. I don't know.
You did.
But my bonus is that even if I'm not doing a million things, I'm still worthy of being here, just because like, I don't have to do a million things. Now, I am gonna do a lot of things because that's just who I am.
But it's not gonna, it don't gotta be a million.
Yeah,
it don't have to be.
It don't have to be. Yeah, but it's also, I'm doing it. I can do it now just because of the fun of it, not because if I'm not it, like, not because I have the mindset of, if I'm not doing the things or if I sit still, then I'm not good enough. the amount of things that I do, or the pace that I'm doing things at, or the accomplishments that I get, they do not equate to my worth. They do not equate to who I am as a person. They just don't, they don't equate. These are just things that I do or don't do. And it's okay for me to sit down for a moment. I'm still going to be just as worthy as I was when I was doing the 5,000 things that I decided to do. You know, not a million anymore, just 5,000.
Hearing you say that, it reminded me of something that I learned was you actually don't have to do anything.
Anything at all.
Right. Right. Because I know we have this whole idea, are you living, are you just existing, are you thriving, are you whatever, and it's like, technically speaking, or literally speaking, you don't have to do anything. Like, the state of existing is like, you exist, and it's like, you've won. Like, God made you, God has you here, and just you existing means that you won.
So you, it's beat, like, out the other sperm.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, facts, factually, you were swimming, and, you know, that's what it is. You fought to be here.
Fought the good fight.
You know what I'm saying? Some people didn't make it, respectfully, and yeah, just the nature, like, you don't actually have to do anything. I think in America specifically, we over-index on, like, you have to be more, do more, have more. Like, everything is more. You have to become more. You have to be better than you were, and it's like, it's nice that you want to be more, but you don't have to do anything. Like, God wanted you here for a reason. If you did nothing else at all, God still wanted you here for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't fulfill that reason, that's on you. Say, yeah. Nah. But I definitely agree with that. But I also feel like for a long time, I looked at that as equating to my value, but didn't realize it. And some of this stuff, I'm not even gonna lie, I don't know, like, when or how, or, you know, when it, like, what ingrained it into me. I think it was like a series of events that happened. I am a high achiever, so I began certificates. If y'all know me, I love a good certificate. So, but recognizing that, like, okay, you got the certificate, that's cool, but you still great just because you're you. Even if you didn't have the certificate, because you don't need it. I mean, most of the certificates you really don't need. Like, I'm just saying. But get them if you like them, though. Anyways, I used to equate it to, I guess, whether or not I was good enough. And I think it was part of, like, my people pleasing. So I'd be like, oh, I did this thing. Like, be proud of me. And I don't need that. Because it also is just a thing where, like, I'm proud of me. And I feel a lot better when I'm just doing the things that I love to do and not focusing on just doing a bunch of stuff, because I feel like, well, this is what it's supposed to look like, or this is what they said I should do, or da 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 da. Now I'm doing a million things that everybody else suggested, and I still haven't sat down and listened to myself because I'm doing everything that everybody else suggested. But I could just, if my soul is telling me to sit still, I can sit still. And it'll be okay. Because sometimes that's just what you need. And that'll catapult you to being able to achieve the things that you want to achieve without burning out. But also just, like, be able to achieve those things. So, yeah. Do you have a bonus? Or you already gave a bonus? I feel like you gave, like, 6 things.
I be dropping gems. Your holiness, his holiness, it's a given. Like, when I speak, you get something out of it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let us know. Okay. What are some things that you are unlearning? Some things that you learned as a child that you're unlearning, that, or that you already had to unlearn? Because we definitely want to hear about that. Do y'all have any final thoughts? Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Great OEO Podcast.
Great.
Yes.
I'm Shaquille D.
His Holiness, Sir Breezington.
Your humble friend, Damani.
And thank you for joining us for another episode. Welcome to the gray area. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
And also, if you want to watch this live and early, if you want to join in on the conversation, as well as get access to other content, join our Patreon for the low price of, we'll skip that part. Join our Patreon. No problem, Erica. I can't remember what I was saying. Just cut this part up. Okay. Join our Patreon for... How do I end this?
Join our Patreon. Leave a comment if you... Yeah, let us know...
I said that.
The three things that... Let us know something that
I know what I'm supposed to say. Said,
let us know
join
something.
Join our Patreon. And if you like this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked somewhere on the screen. We will see you guys next week.
Adios. Stay blessed.
Stay black, people.
Nah, because I learned, because I'll be doing this to everybody. Uh-huh. And then a lady, I was like, all right, stay blessed, stay black, whatever. And she was like, it's this. I was like, but it's peace. This is unity. This is separation. Like, oh, word. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Peace. She said, this is how it was originally. They told us to do this for separation.
Okay.
I was like, ah, I like that.
Word. That's somebody fact check that.
That's why Cool J used to be like,
oh.
I don't know why. I don't know. I don't think that's true. I like that.
Somebody fact check it. Not me.
See y'all.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, give me another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.